Hi again, everybody. It's Jungle Jim Jerome, Kevin Martin, and Warren Hansen with this special edition of Inside Curling. Allow me, folks, just to take you inside a little bit. So we're always in different parts of the world. Kevin's in Toronto, Warren's in BC. I'm here, Mike's in Vancouver, Warren's in Port Coquitlam. Mike can see all of it, our producer. We were about to unleash this great show, and he said, Kevin, I'm seeing some toes in the background. What? What? Whose toes? What's going on? Anyway, talk about inside curling. Hi again, everybody. We want to acknowledge all of our sponsors associated with Inside Curling who bring you this special show and our weekly show. Sports Interaction, Coyote, Tractor, Goldline, our new sponsor Hearing Life, and Nestle Boost. Here's what's on the show today. The Princess Auto Players Championship is in Toronto. They're not quite finished. They got some tiebreakers tomorrow. This is Friday night when we do this. But most of the round robin is over. Kevin, you're there. Of course, you're going to bring us up to speed. We'll review the teams we picked. Of course, I'm still gloating that I picked the winner from the Worlds, Scotland. Who's in the final playoffs this weekend? We'll check that out, how we did. Kev, you did an interview with Caitlin Laws and Jocelyn Peterman. It was terrific. I listened to it today. Well, let's just say I lost track of how many members of that team are pregnant. It's like Warren when he breaks down the playoffs for us, trying to figure out the page system and who's going to go where. That was a great interview. We're going to have a listen to that. So let's get to it. We've got the final, kind of final teams. We thought it was six, but it's different than that. At the Princess Auto Players Championship. Kev, you've been there all week. What's going on? What'd you think? Give us a wrap so far.
Well, yeah. So how it works is 12 teams, two pools of six. So you've got five game round robins. And of course, with that, there's going to be a lot of threes and twos and twos and threes, naturally, of course. So in the women's side, there are seven teams still in it. So with that, there has to be a tiebreaker. So Taryn Zoni beat Holman tonight. And so that gets her into the tie break against Clancy Grandy. The winner of that game goes in to play Tab Peterson in the quarterfinals. So on the men's side, Dunstone plays White in the tie break. And then the winner of the tie break will play Cooey in the quarterfinals. So twos and threes ended up not getting in. You had to be a three and two. You had to have a winning record to get in, which is great. But what a fantastic system to have 12 teams, two pools of six. It makes for a great round robin, and the games really do count. When it came to this afternoon's game on the women's side, all 12 teams were still in it. Nobody was out.
What?
Yep, that's the honest truth. Yep, nobody was out, depending on who beat who. It was still possible till almost dinner time tonight. Any of the 12 could still be in. It was remarkable.
Save that playoff format then. Save that one then. That's
a good one, Jimmy.
It's the best. Like, it's the best.
It is for this format. This is basically the same playoff that the WCF used in the Worlds.
Yeah.
But with a 12-team round robin, it doesn't work that well. But with this playoff, with a 5-team round robin, it's perfect because it's condensed the time. Everybody's got a really fair, even chance, and I think it's a great playoff for this 12-team event.
So who are playing who, Warren?
In the women's side to start with, let's look at the final four. So Gim was ranked number one with a 4-1 record, and Rana number two. So Gim goes to the top of the draw of the final four, and Rana to the bottom. Also at the top of the draw is team ranked number three, Peterson. And as you mentioned, Kevin, Grandy and Terenzoni are going to be in a tiebreaker. The winner of that will go against Peterson, and then the winner of that will go against Gim, and on to the finals. On the lower side, Einarsson and Fujisawa were ranked 4 and 5, so they will play, and the winner will go against Rana. That will be the final four, with Gim and Rana already in there. On the men's side, surprise, surprise, Ratanos finished number one with a 4-1 record, as did Gushu with a 4-1 record. Both those teams are playing, in my opinion, extremely well. Particularly Gushu after that really hard final in Ottawa to come back this week. And he's, Kevin, I think he's the number one skip on the ice just about, isn't he?
Oh, I would think so. Yeah, playing great. Absolutely.
So on the top side, we've got Ratanos, and Cooey was ranked number three. So he's in that slot as well. And as Kevin mentioned, Dunstone will play White in the tiebreaker. The winner will go against Cooey. and then the winner of that will go against Rotanos. On the bottom side, we mentioned Gushu is in the number two ranked position for the fours, and Schwaller will play Adin in the preliminary game, and the winner of that will come in and go against Gushu. So that's kind of the way it's going to shake down. That's going to happen tomorrow and Saturday. And again, I think for this type of playoff, with 12 teams and a five-game round robin, this is an excellent playoff because you haven't got any huge imbalance. You've got about one game difference between the top guys and the bottom guys. Versus the world situation with that 13-team round robin, you can have some huge disparity between number one and number six, and we did have that situation in both the world events. So I think this is a good system for this particular playoff, and it's quick. It starts Tuesday and Sunday. We'll talk about as well the Pinty Cup rankings, and we need not forget the fact that this is virtually two events in one, and that the Pinty's Cup is based on the points for the year, and the winner gets $75,000, and the second place $40,000, third and fourth also get a payout. Here's who's still very much in the running versus from what we talked about a couple of days ago. On the men's side, Adin at 35 points, Gushu 31, Rotanos 24, Dunstone 23. So those teams are all in the final six, and all of them still very, very much in the heat of the battle. On the women's side, Einarsson, 39 points, the leader. Interesting, Holman was right behind her at 31. They're gone. Gim, then at 26, Fujisawa at 22. All three of those teams are all in the final playoff and very much in the running. So it'll be interesting not just to watch who's going to win the Players' Championship, but who also is going to, at the end, win the Pinty's Cup.
Right. Good stuff. Big cash, man. 75 grand. Was it last year, 75 grand?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah, it's great. The Players is so good because it brings it all together, Jimmy, at the end. It's fantastic.
I'm watching Rachel Holman today. Okay, I'm cheering. I'm a huge Rachel Holman fan. She gives up three. Does Taryn Zoni just make other teams play poorly? I mean, she's on a roll, you know?
It is intimidating. There's no question about that.
I was like, well, how do you give up three, man, in the big game, you know? It happens, right?
Oh, yes.
You're not answering, you guys, because many times in your life you gave up three. Now, take it easy on me, good listener. Jim, it happens all the time. I understand. Oh, well, I'll cheer for her next time. Is she going to the big playoff?
Oh, Champions Cup. Oh, yeah. I think so. Yes, Holman will be there. Yep.
Okay, good. I'll cheer for her again. So, boys, we picked six teams, but it's all kind of screwed up because of the playoffs. So tell us how we did.
It was my fault. I was assuming, I didn't look at it carefully, that it was...
Hang on a minute. Kevin, did Warren say it was his fault?
I think he did. I think I heard that.
So we picked eight rather than six. So let's take a look at the women's side, first of all, as to teams that we picked that got in there. So we picked Fujisawa. She got in. We picked Gim. She got in. We picked Grandy. She got in. And we picked Rana. And she got in. And we picked Einarsson. And she got in. But who we picked that didn't make it was Hasselborg. Didn't make it. Holman didn't make it. And Laws didn't make it. So out of the final six, we got five of them, and so that's not too bad.
Not bad.
Now, on the men's side, we did pretty well. We picked White. He made it. We picked Adin. He made it. We picked Cooey, and he made it. Dunstan made it. Rotanos made it. Gushu made it. And we picked Mowat and Botcher, of course, who didn't make it. So, you know, we can kind of say we were six for six on the men's side.
I believe okay. I gave Jimmy heck because he picked Mowat off the bat when he was so tired, and I couldn't pick Schwaller. I wanted to, but I ran out of people.
My fault?
Yep. Your fault.
Everything is your fault, Jimmy.
I'll tell you what, Warren. So far in this show, there's two things that have never happened, okay, that did. One is you said it was your fault, and the other one is you agreed with the playoff format. You finally agreed. You said this was a great thing. Mike, mark that down. Tell the producer, okay?
Yeah, mark it.
Okay, Warren, so we're going to make new picks for the weekend.
Yes, we're each going to pick two teams to make the final and then stick your neck right out there and the one who's going to win the cash.
Okay, give me the quick teams in the men's side. Give me quickly. Who are they?
Rotanos, Gushu, yeah. Cooey, Schwaller, Adin, Dunstone, White.
Okay, I'm going to go with...
Yeah, keep us in suspense.
I'm going with Cooey and Schwaller.
Who are you going with?
Cooey and Schwaller.
Okay.
Well, that's
all
not
right.
Bad.
Okay. No, that's pretty good.
Well, I'm laughing because of Gushu, right? The guy's probably waiting. Jerome, when are you going to pick me?
Okay, I'll go next. I think Gushu is he's playing well, and he's unhappy from last weekend. He's going to be in the final against Rotanos, and it's going to be a hell of a game, but I think Gushu will win it. So that's okay. My pick, Rotanos and Gushu.
Okay. Kev, you get the sludge.
Yeah, I got Gushu winning it against Kui in the final.
Okay, there we go. That's all different.
And I got Retornaz losing the semi, and I've got Schwaller losing the semi.
Okay.
All right.
Mark those down, Maureen.
Good picks.
Okay, bang off the women's teams. Which seven?
Gim, Rana, Peterson, Anderson, Fujisawa, Grandi, Terrazzoni.
I'm going with Anderson and Terrazzoni.
Oh, really?
See the thought I put into that, Kevin?
And who's going to win? Well, that's a pretty good pick.
Yeah, Anderson's going to win.
And once again, she's been in six finals in a row, so you're not really going outside the box in that one.
Plus, we have her on the show. I don't want her giving me shit.
you rained on my parade, Jim.
I know I did, because you didn't pick her last time, and we interviewed her that week.
That was exactly my picks. Well, I think why I'm looking at Anderson, she's got 39 points, and that $75,000 little added prize there has got to be very much in her horizon. So I think they're going to come on really strong as a result of that the next 2 days. So I have to pick her as well. I was going to go Terrazzoni, but since you picked Terrazzoni, I'll say Gim.
I was going to pick Gim. Okay. Kev?
So I've got Gim winning it. I've got Gim beating Fujisawa in the final. And I've got Anderson, Terrazzoni losing semis.
You're Fujisawa and Gim, right? That's you?
That's what I got for the final, yep.
Mark it down. Take a flyer, folks. Bet on me if you're listening for picks. Go to Sports Interaction. Okay, throw down some shekels on the big fella. Okay, all right.
Right after you.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll find this hard to believe. I'm down on my curling bets. I made a little bet with the mallet help me. I'm down. This will turn it around. Part of our special show, Kevin, you did a couple of interviews in the past little while that we're gonna play for you right now. I thought they were fantastic, particularly the Rachel Holman that you sat down. It was really well done. Whoever filmed it and put it all together and edited the piece. It was fantastic. They had music playing underneath. It was, I've got to admit, Kevin, she didn't, but I was almost brought to tears a little bit.
Oh, I was.
When she was talking about how dismal her life was around COVID, it was terrible for her. Absolutely terrible.
Touching piece. Really, really hard to do. It was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. COVID time for those athletes was pretty rough. And I think that's something we forget. They were separated from their families for indefinite periods of time. They were locked up. It was pretty tough stuff.
Take a look at that interview. You can go to the Sportsnet YouTube channel and watch that and... I'm not crying, you're crying, you know, sort of thing. So well done, Kevin. Really well done. And thank you, Rachel. Another interview with Caitlin Laws and her team. Jocelyn Peterman joined you a couple of days ago. And let's have a listen to that. And we'll talk to you boys right after we hear it.
Thanks, you guys, for taking the time. Really appreciate it. I know you guys are on the ice here shortly. Let's talk a little bit about it. We started the year. You were pregnant, but the only one.
Yes, correct.
And then it changed.
Yes, there must have been something in the water, I suppose. We knew going into when we formed this team that we were all at the same stage in life and we wanted to start our families. So we are super excited that we've got... Well, one here or two here now presently and one on the way. And it's very exciting times for all of us.
So you played this fall a little bit and then shut it down. And then Myla is now 4 months old.
Yes.
So how long did you play?
I played 6 events with the team. So I finished the very last weekend of October and took November and December off.
Right.
And then was back on the ice in January with the team.
And Selena then... She played all fall, but she just had a little one, April 1st.
A little baby boy named Hudson.
Hudson. Yes. Hudson. April 1st, April Fool's baby. So then she played up till when?
End of December. She played one game at the Slam in January, and then that was her last event.
Right, she couldn't do that. So then Laura Walker came in, replaced
both of us.
All three, to replace whoever needed to be replaced at the time. And then Jocelyn, now you're due in June.
Yeah. Well,
congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome. But you're still playing.
Yeah, I'm playing this event, and then Laura will play the Champions Cup for me.
Okay. So Laura, okay, but then will Selena maybe be back?
We're not too sure yet. We'll see, yeah.
Maybe, maybe not. Yes. Yeah, who knows? But then there's big news with Kristen, too.
Yes,
well, no, not that news.
No.
Start any rumors.
No rumors.
Yes, she recently got engaged to her longtime boyfriend, Rob, and planned to get married next summer.
Next summer. So, okay, that's a lot for everybody to take in, but we just had a little bit of an update here on all of that. So next year, next season, doing June, so you'll be good to go next season. So back to normal-ish?
Yeah, this was our first year together, but next year we'll be everyone on the ice together full time. And we're really excited to put in the work and continue to train and accomplish a lot of the goals that we have.
Well, it's got to be incredibly exciting because we were joking before we came on camera how good a year you had, but with different teams. So I got to ask, I guess, with Laura, she has to be, or doesn't have to be, part of this because, my goodness, as a group, different people playing different positions, but winning.
She's been an integral part of our team this season, and we couldn't have had the success that we did without her. And we're so grateful that she was able to jump in and really just embrace being a part of our team. And we've loved having her.
We've heard lots of talk from different parts of the world because of the grind. There's so many events now that you guys have to play in. To have actually a five-person team, is that in the cards for your team?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big time commitment to ask. So we've been very fortunate to have Laura jump on board for a lot of these events. Even that was a lot to ask for her. Like, we also had Joanne Courtney come for one event. Jill Officer played with us at the Provincials. So it takes a big group of people, especially when we're having families and things like that. So, yeah, there's a lot involved, and we've been very grateful for a lot of support.
Let's talk about mixed doubles a bit. You guys play so much four-person curling. Well, both of you play mixed doubles, but you tend to play more, I think. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I haven't played in a couple of years.
Yeah, yeah. So, but you and Brett, you don't do very, very well at mixed doubles. So how's this all going to...
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see, you know, after the baby comes, but... it was nice to be able to play the Nationals and still be able to compete. And we really enjoy playing mixed doubles and being on the road together and getting to compete together. So, yeah, we'll see if we can continue doing that. We hope to. We really like the discipline.
I want to ask you, Caitlin, about your sponsorships. It was funny. When you gave me heck when the news of your team came out, which is fine. I appreciate that. Your team is really popular. And I kept reading... I'm not sure, Twitter or Facebook or whatever, the notes, this sponsor. But then babies. How do your sponsors feel about all what's going on with your team?
We're so grateful for the support of our sponsors. We couldn't do what we're doing without them. And they are 100% behind us and are a huge part of our journey with our families. They're super supportive. And it's been a lot of fun sharing all of our baby news with them. And we have a really great core group that has kind of got behind us and just believed in every step, every bit of our team. And it's been a lot of fun getting to know every single one of them.
Well, I bet it's got to be exciting for them. Like, I can imagine this is what an awesome team to be. Like, all the stuff going on with your families. Oh, my God. As your sponsors, year after year, they become your family, too.
Absolutely.
And then your guys' family or individual families are growing as well. So it's what a positive team atmosphere.
Definitely. And a lot of the companies we're partnered with are family-based companies. So it's just the core values really align, and they're not just sponsors, they're partners, they're friends, and it's exciting to continue this journey with them.
Before I let you guys go to the ice and actually play your game here in a bit, I'd really like to hear, because I brought up mixed doubles a little bit, and it's growing, and there's no holding it back, I don't think. It's really exciting. But there's more sponsorship and stuff in four-person curling. Jocelyn, how do you see mixed doubles able to grow with four-person curling growing internationally so much? Like, where does it fit in? How does it kind of get its own place in the game?
Yeah, that's the tricky part, I guess, right now, especially for myself and Brett, who are very committed to our four-person teams, just trying to fit in the events in the schedule. But I think, you know, the more sponsorship that gets involved with the discipline, the more events there are, it's great for the sport. I think it makes our season planning a lot more challenging. But, you know, I think that there are a lot more people playing, especially in Canada. So it's got to be good for the game and more events, more purse on the line. So it's all good things for the discipline. And hopefully we can just continue to see that grow.
Well, first of all, congratulations. Congratulations in your curling and, of course, in the family stuff. It's just wonderful. So thank you for taking the time.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Listen to the Inside Curling Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime. Okay, Warren, what'd you think?
Well, I think that team did pretty well this year, considering everything they were dealing with, all those pregnancies and different players coming and going. And I think you take all that into consideration, they had an exceptional year, in particular Laura Walker going in there and substituting at third in the Scotties, and they were very close. So I think when that team gets everything together next year and they've got the children all born and they're raising them, I think they're going to be really a team to be contended with.
I mean, it's not so bad in curling if someone can't curl. They always seem to have a go-to from somewhere, somehow. And, you know, remember Adin, right, was so hurt, and they won a bunch without him. I guess it always isn't that bad, Kevin, with people coming and going on a team.
Well, it's kind of nice you have Laura Walker stepping in, right? And so that was kind of a key part of this team was Caitlin had to go away first. And then Laura comes in, and then Selena, and now Jocelyn, you know, she's due pretty soon, and so on. So it was just a really fun talk, actually, a discussion with them, what they had to go through. It was really incredible and good on them. And I think I agree with Warren. They get all this stuff settled. That's a team to be reckoned with. There's no question about that. And you can tell how well they get along. So it's a tight knit group. And I think they'll keep Laura on as sort of a fifth type alternate type player, because they've all got little ones now, and Kristen McCush just getting engaged too. So you've got all kinds of activity on that team, and to have a fifth, a quality of Laura Walker will really help, because she's going to have to play a lot.
It's going to be interesting going forward. I think particularly on the women's side, because a lot of them are juggling a lot of balls with children and in some cases jobs, that you're going to see, I think, five-player teams become more of a commonplace with the women. Maybe not the men yet, but I think the women were getting there. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. It makes a lot of sense. Well, especially in this case, when you know, real life is really pulling at everybody, but they're such good players. They have a great chance of doing terrific things in our sport. So keep playing, and if they can have a solid fifth player like that, then if they need a break or if they need to stay at home for a week or whatever, they can and jump right back out on the tour again. It's great.
The men's and the women's world championships are in the books, but if you didn't quite hear what the fellas said early in the show, this is the Princess Auto Players Championship is the best 12 teams in the world on both men's and women's. So Sportsnet is going to bring you all that action all weekend long. Kev, you'll be calling a bunch of games. And, well, you got our picks. You can tell how tough it is. We all picked different winners. And I thought I picked the easy ones, and Kevin said I wasn't going to pick those. So, as you said, Kev, unbelievable parity. It's anyone's game.
It really is. Yep, and that's what the Players has always been about. That was why it was my favorite event all those years when I played. And, you know, when you talk to somebody like Jennifer Jones, who's played for a very long time, she says the same thing. It's her favorite event because it's so hard to win, because it's all the very best teams in the world. So it really is the cream of the crop, and you've got to come to play. And if you don't come to play, you end up like Bruce Mowat, and they didn't win a game, which is hard to imagine.
Yikes.
Well, you know what? He was tired, and if you're not perfectly sharp, that's what happens to the Players.
What's your perfect event, Warren?
I think any event that involves the best players in the world today is got to be my favorite. And I think Kevin and I talked a lot about how we've got to try to make that be a more of an ongoing issue going forward, where we bring these best teams in the world together more than a few times a year, because that's where the real entertainment is. And I think it's different than a world championship or a Brier or a Scotties, because half the teams there really aren't contenders. In this event, I mean, you go out there and you don't know who's going to win every game. Every game can be hit to the wire, or somebody makes a slight error at the start of a game, and all of a sudden they're down about four.
Right.
So it's unpredictable versus normally these other events, you know, for the most part, till you get down to the last half a dozen teams or less, even you know pretty well who's going to win most of the time.
Cool. And who knows what going ahead, like Adine, right, is the president of that new players group. You know, some of these guys are going to start to pipe up, right, and say this event is no good. This needs improvement. Everyone's talking about shorter events, so...
Well, and the other thing we need, and that's all being discussed as well going forward, we need more than just an event for all these top players. We need to have one or two levels below as well that are well organized. And so there's a system and there's a way that you go from A to B to C, which mm-hmm. right now we don't have that. And it's pretty much per chance. So hopefully as time progresses, this is all going to get better organized. And I think these high performance players are going to find a compartment of their own, which they've never really had. And, hopefully that's going to be a product of the future.
You're talking about relegation, Warren? Are you dipping your toe in that water?
Relegation's a crazy word, Jim. I think that in any event that's got numerous teams in it around the world or countries, they have pools, they have divisions, A, B, C. And it's the same thing. You move from one to the other as you get better, you know, even the pro sports. NHL has the American Hockey League. You sometimes you're going to play there for a year or two right. before you even get into the NHL because mm-hmm. you're not good enough yet. But yet you've got to play and you've got to have competition to get better. That all has to be worked into what we're doing here because I think that's one of the problems now with some of the teams coming up. They're just not getting enough competition.
Right.
And so they don't get to play enough against good competition to get better. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things they're struggling with because, again, there's no system. So hopefully as we move along here, this will all start to fall in place better for these top players, not just in Canada, but around the world.
Right. Kevin, should curling have a Corn Ferry tour like the PGA?
It kind of does now, but it, to Warren's point, just has to be better organized. Has to be a little better organized and a definite staircase from C to B to A, and if you're not quite good enough, back to B, and if you're not quite good enough, back to C, and mm-hmm. and that and so it is. There is that, but not organized well enough. So you're right, Jimmy. It's just there has to be some good, solid work put into it.
If you want to watch, well, the best curling in the world, it's going to happen this weekend from Toronto, the Prince's Auto Players Championship, and all of the action is brought to you by Sportsnet. They'll be bringing all sorts of games. Kev, you'll be up from morning till midnight covering stuff. So. We've got a tiebreaker, one or two of them tomorrow morning.
Two
tiebreakers tomorrow morning, so tune in. There you go. Kev, great job in the interviews. Thanks a lot to Caitlin and Jocelyn for sitting in, and particularly for Rachel Holman for taking the time to put that piece together. It was really, really good. Big thank you to our sponsors, Sports Interaction, Coyote Tractor, Goldline, Hearing Life, and Nestle Boost for bringing you this special edition and our weekly show, Inside Curling. A reminder, again, send us an email. We'd love to hear from you, insidecurling@gmail.com. We have an email segment, In the Bag, which we do each and every week. Keep sending them to us. They're really good. Really. Last week, we had a great email from a young 13-year-old girl. You guys helped her out. It was good. And so did Bruce Mowat, suggested what she should do. So check that show out if you didn't get a chance. Boys, until next time, good luck. My girl Anderson. Okay? That's who I got. But, okay?
Well, she's got the potential for the big payday here, so she's got a lot of incentive the next 2 days.
A lot of jingling, man. Okay, there's a lot of cash on the line, so good luck. I'm going to enjoy it this weekend. And you, good listener, you enjoy it as well, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Inside Curling. Shauna, put some socks on, for God's sakes. See you, Kevin.
Thanks, Jim.
See you later. See you more.
Thanks, Jimmy.